While everyone's talking about AI replacing people, smart companies know the real opportunity is using AI to make their people better. Lattice is the HR platform where people and AI succeed together, helping every employee grow, every manager lead, and every company achieve greater success. Let's build a people-powered future. No regrets. Visit lattice.com/no regrets. That's LATTICE.com/no regrets.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the pitch, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people, the busters, everybody else in between. It's the Wicked Wednesday edition of the program. And got quite a bit of stuff to break down, actually, as we're still recovering from last night's WNBA action. And I say action, and I actually mean it, unlike a lot of National Football League primetime games. But the WNBA playoffs have been lit, and last night was just absolutely insane. Both home teams end up winning the game and extending the series. I'm still like, you know, Becky Hammon, I got a lot of respect for her. A lot of people think, you know, she was going to be the first female coach in the NBA. I don't think it's going to happen. It'll happen eventually, but I don't think it's going to be her now. But for the love of God, like, I still cannot. I'm still rattled by the Las Vegas Aces and the Seattle Storm game, guys. It went over the number. I needed it. I took an in-game over, and I really needed the game to go over the number. I had the Las Vegas Aces as well. They had a 14-point lead in the second half. You got a team with a 17-game win streak. 17 games they hadn't lost in, and they got a 14-point lead, man, in the second half of the basketball game. And the Las Vegas Aces went into, like, shutdown mode. Like, they literally, like, they passed up open looks. Like, Asia Wilson would be under the basket, and she'd kick it out. And they were just trying to bleed the clock and play the shot clock and kill time. It's like prevent defense. And lo and behold, Seattle chipping away, hitting a three here, three there. Las Vegas ends up losing the game, but 27 seconds left, 24-second shot clock. Becky Hammon decides to play it out and leaves her team, like, 4 seconds, like, to take a three. And you're down, you know, it was absolutely insane. They were down one, right? So they were down one with 27 seconds left. Seattle didn't have to do anything. So the girl on Seattle, who was at Skylar Diggins, Diggins just stood there dribbling the ball. You know what I mean, guys? Like, I understand we bring Babano and Cam Stewart in. I understand, like, all right, let's go for the steal. But if you don't get the steal in the first 5 seconds, we got a foul type of deal right away because we don't want to lose the clock. You'll see that in the NBA a lot. They'll tell them, you know, dive for the ball, do what you got to do, like, try to knock the ball loose if you can. But realize quickly, if it's you're not, you got to stop the clock. So just imagine, let's just say the Seattle Storm, they're up by one. There's 27 seconds left. Let's just say the Aces try to play defense for like 5, 10 seconds, even 10 seconds, and say, all right, listen, I'll give you 10 seconds. Like Hammond should have told him, I'll give you 10 seconds, girls, to get the ball. But if you don't, I want you to foul with like at the 17-second mark. They might miss the free throws. Anyone who watches a WNBA game, these girls don't hit free throws very well. It's funny because the whole cliche before was like, oh, you got to watch women's basketball. So fundamental, right? They pass well. They shoot free throws. They really don't. Like, it's like the WNBA is turning into the NBA. Like, they're bombing threes. They're hitting these crazy shots. And, like, and then they miss the free throws. So the whole thing is, you're down one. There's no guarantee Seattle are even going to hit the effing free throws. Like, you know, they might hit one or two, let's say. Then you're only down two when you got 20 seconds left. Instead, they literally let Skylar Diggins stand there dribbling the ball, and literally at the end of the shot clock, she got fouled. So then they had a 3-point lead with 4 seconds left. You know, Becky, I thought you were like some sort of great coach. I don't know if I've ever been as mad about a WNBA game as I was last night, but it kind of goes to show that I'll admit I'm on tilt the last 48 hours, Cam. Yep. If I'm like raging in the middle of the night at 1 a.m. Eastern time about a WNBA ending, you know, I probably lost some other bets before that has put me in this mood that I'm in now.
No, I got to hand it to you, Morency. Like, you bet hard. You're betting harder units than me. And you have nights where you kind of just take a small, because, like, yeah, you know, there's the sun comes out tomorrow. We're going to have more games on the
Cam,
board.
And I put a $1,200 in-game bet in on that.
What, game. On the WNBA?
I had, well, I had like.
I got to be your therapist.
I had like, it was about 2,500 in the
oh
end.
My
like
God.
Was, so,
that's, oh, wow.
Yeah. So imagine, like, I'm watching a WNBA game. Like, it's like all quiet. It's the middle of the night. And I'm just sitting there. And every missed free throw, I'm cringing. I'm like, oh, God.
That's
like,
horrible.
Stupid. I'm like, girl, like, you got to hit that. Like, I can sort of see it too. It was sort of, I was on pace. It was right there. And it was like, all right, I got to hit this shot. And then, like, they didn't. And I was like, oh. And then the Aces end up losing. And I was just, like, on tilt after. I was like, son of a bitch. Like, this is
that's a lot of money, Gabe, on a WNBA game. I want to have a hot take, too. And you guys can call it freezer cold or whatever. No,
it's not my first time. We'll put it that way.
No,
like, I bet the league. Time. Like, I bet the league for real. Like, you know, when it's not.
Oh, I bet the league. Not like that. You're hardcore. Like, okay, that's it. And you can make a lot of money betting the WNBA, but weird shit happens. And you bring up a good point. Guys, actually, I'm going to say if there was a list of first female coach in NBA, I'd take Natalie Nicasi, the coach of the Golden State Valkyries. First of all, Asian woman, worked with the Clippers before. That would be my, like, instead of Hammond, who would be the favorite, she'd be my off-the-board pick. Just saying.
Yeah, I don't think she'll. I don't know if she'll be, if she'll get it. She, you know what? It's too soon still. It sounds
it
crazy.
Is soon, Gabe, but she's good. She actually.
Yeah, she is really good. I'm not going to dispute it, but like she's not intimidating enough. She's not big enough physically. Like there's a lot of little like things
nice.
That go with it.
You know I get like, it.
She is a great coach. I love Becky Hammond. Becky Hammond could have been the first female to coach men's NCAA, but she turned the job down. She did get offered the Colorado State job once, and she thought that it was a step down, right, from being an assistant in the NBA, which a lot of other coaches would have as well. So she was like, nah, like, I want to, you know. She wasn't really even obsessed with being a woman's coach in the NBA. It was more other people that thought, all right, she could be the one. But, of course, she was like, Popovich right-hand man arm, so to speak, for so long. So a lot of people thought maybe she would take over the Spurs after. But she can coach, guys. I'm just questioning her call there. I mean, I like to see the dirty look she would give me if I would ask her the question. Like,
you're good in scrums, remember?
She's got some scowls, that lady.
Oh,
man.
I know.
Like,
oh, yeah.
She's scary. Like, she just sits there with this look on her face during the game. Man, she knows she's forgotten more. Like she knows everything. Like I am not questioning her greatness. And she's not the only one that does that. Like I just don't understand, Babano, when coaches let the clock go and leave their team. Like you see it in college a lot too. NBA coaches are smart enough to know just foul them right away. Like we're not leaving ourselves 3 seconds, right? But college, they do that. WNBA, she decided to do it last night, but. Really, listen, guys, really entertaining games. Like, the passion of, like, the arenas and, like, the intensity with these women on the court, man. Like, it's more intense than the NBA is. Like, the NBA players are friends. Like, they're competing, but they're friends. These WNBA girls, they legit don't like each other. Like, for real. There's, like, a million little cliques, like, within the clique of the league.
Good call.
You know what I mean? Like, it's true. Like, they're just this. So you've got, like, they're all, so you figure, they're all in the league. They support each other. No, they don't. Right? Like, I said, you've got gay, straight, black, white, like, popular, unpopular, European, this, that. Everybody feels like they're getting, like, sort of, like, discriminated against. Like, you know what I mean?
It's actually funny, Gabe, in golf, it's the same. There's more hate on the women's tour than the men's tour. Women are just inherently very competitive. And have rivalries with people and stuff and scowls and this and that.
You know
like,
what
it's
it is,
almost
Cam,
crazy.
What it is with the men, women don't hold their emotions back.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of guys on the PGA Tour. They're like, yeah, I hate that guy, but I'm not going to say it. Like,
so I'm a woman?
Yeah. So, like, you get the women players and they're just like, you know what? She's this, whatever. Screw her.
It's true.
Like, they're very confrontational, but that's what makes the league so good. Like, Caitlin, who? Like, man, these games have been crazy, but. I knew I should have bet it last night. Out of spite, I said, I'm crushing the New York Liberty tonight. And it was like -2. It's -4.5 now. The Liberty at home, they can eliminate the Phoenix Mercury tonight. And you got the Minnesota Lynx. Cam mentioned the Cassie coach of Golden State. She did a great job this year with this team. But I think when they lose by 30, 35, like they got really, really, really messed up by the Minnesota Lynx in the first game. You know, though, we saw this with the Aces. The Aces smashed Seattle like 102-77 in game one. And the Storm won last night. They won the game outright. So I got a weird feeling, actually, that the Valkyries, they're going to lose. Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, their inaugural season, great year. You made the playoffs. Nobody expects you to do anything, but they're going to play their heart out at home. They do have one of the better home court advantages. They've been very good at home. They play in the same arena the Warriors do.
And this is best of three, isn't it? So it's like home game, then you go on the road, then you're home for game three if you have.
Well, take a look at this, guys.
Last night, both teams that you would figure, like the Las Vegas Aces won 17 games in a row.
Yeah.
They don't want to play a game three, man. Yeah. Like the Storm just sent this to a winner-take-all. And the same thing with the Fever and the Dream. And as good as the Atlanta Dream are, and I don't even know how good they are. I got to be honest. I'm watching a Dream last night. I'm like, I don't know how the F this team won as many games as they did. They're terrible. Like that, and I'll hype up the WNBA, but that Dream Fever game was one of the worst games of my life of any sport I've ever tried to watch.
That Dream, Gabe, I'm on them with futures, too. I go, I don't like the value of my stock right
trouble.
Now.
They're not, winning.
Oh, dude, if I could sell that stock, I would. But
you know what it is with them? They're good, but it's like we were talking about last night on the show live. Like, they're like the Atlanta Hawks or something. They're like sort of like a first round. It's like, yeah, they're good. They're going to make the playoffs. But when you watch them, they don't have enough. And when you watch these other teams, you realize like, oh, dear God.
Like every team in Atlanta, Gabe.
There's levels to this
Atlanta.
Stuff.
All their teams, Falcons, Dream. Well, the soccer team was good
like
for a
Minnesota
while.
Minnesota guys in Las Vegas are just way better than everybody. Yeah. Like I watched the league. Oh, and the Liberty, they're defending champs. Who the Liberty struggled down the stretch, but they didn't have Breanna Stewart. And suddenly, I'll admit, the Liberty are effing dangerous now. And I think the point spread moved to 4.5 because Breanna Stewart got smoked in the face the other night, and she will be playing. So there's your WNBA update. Just quickly, though, I will be on the Liberty tonight on the money line. I hate that it's up to 185 right now, but I'll figure something out and throw something else to, you know, pat it up. Lynx and Valkyries. Valkyries known as an under team. I think this game's going to be a track meet tonight. 151 is not high. The Lynx can score like 90 to 100, like on their own against anybody. So I'm going to go over to 151.5. I think the Valkyries could sort of be a live dog, even though you're getting 10.5. Quick check. Thursday night, the Dream are 7-point favorites at home against the Fever in game three. And the Aces are 7.5-point favorites against the Storm. The Aces are going to murder the Storm. They beat them by, like, they smoked them 102-77 in the first game. They were up by 14 last night. They took the pedal off the metal. The crowd was insane in Seattle. And whatever. Like, they'll go back home and they'll roll. But let's get into some football right now. And I sort of made a joke earlier in the week, guys, about Thursday night slate. And I said, oh, yeah, we got a real classic on Thursday with Rice and Charlotte going up against the Buffalo Bill in a Miami Dolphin game. But you know what? Suddenly, Babano, I'm actually looking forward to this Rice and Charlotte game.
Yeah.
As bad as it is. And Rice are now 2.5-point favorites. Rice are running the option right now. And Charlotte cannot stop the run, Babano. It's not a good combination for the Charlotte 49ers.
I agree. I'm surprised there's been so much love for Charlotte. And I liked Charlotte coming into the year, but I've not been impressed. And I like their coach, Tim Alvin, I do. But it's clear it's going to take him some time. I don't like what I've seen out of Charlotte in the first few weeks of the season. They got just absolutely destroyed on defense by App State. They lose to Bill Belichick in North Carolina 20-3. They get ripped on a defense again last week against Monmouth. But the good news is their own offense scored 42. You know, and allowed them to survive in that game. But you're right, the run defense is a problem, a concern that I would have against this, you know, option attack. You're seeing a Charlotte team that's given up 126 rushing yards per game That's 103rd in the country early on. So I think people see the spot. You know, you have a home dog spot in a standalone Thursday night game. That's always going to attract certain bettors to taking the points with the home dog. But I think from an X's and O's and a matchup standpoint, it's a solid matchup for Rice. And I like their coach too, Scott Abel. He was a nice hire, should be able to run the football. I think now that Rice has dipped to below a road favorite or below a field goal road favorite, I think Rice is the way to bet it now.
I really like the move to the option because you're Rice before and you're trying to run this little spread offense stuff and you don't have the players to do it. And you're doing it in a conference against other teams that are doing it, right? You know what I mean? Like, guys, the whole reason that the spread offense and, you know, that quick hit, no huddle stuff in college was to equalize the talent. Right. You spread the field. Yeah, we're not as good. We're not going to be able to beat them, like, you know, like push them aside, like man to man. So let's spread it out, create space. But the whole problem is everybody does that now. Right. And we've seen this, man. Guys, Rice have had, you know, Rice have been playing football for 111 years. They've only had a winning season 36 times. Like, they're not, like, they've never won before. Like, you know what I mean? They won the conference title in like 1994 or something. Like, they've always been an afterthought. You know, let's be real. In all of our lifetimes, like, Rice football have never been a relevant program. You start running the option, teams aren't used to it, right? You're playing against teams that aren't used to stopping the option, and suddenly you're doing something different, right? Because you don't have the talent to match up with other teams. So let's do something different than they do. So I love what they're doing here. And one thing, too, is you saw, they played the Houston Cougars. They lost, but defense actually played pretty well. That's the thing, Babano. The Rice Owl defense isn't, like, brutally terrible now either. So it's a nice combination. You've got a good ground game, and Charlotte can't stop the run, and Rice's defense is pretty good. Rice feel pretty good about themselves right now. Like, they're 2-1. Their one loss was to Houston. Like, Rice are feeling the buzz, Babano, about trying to get to a bowl game this year.
I think they can think about going to a bowl game. It's very possible. Their defense, as you mentioned, is improved. And the Houston loss doesn't look so bad. You know, I like Houston a lot. That is not a bad loss. And in fact, they hung in there for a while on defense until eventually.
It's almost impressive that they scored 9 points against Houston, because Houston's defense is really good.
Houston's defense is really good. We're a big fan of Willie Fritz. He's been tremendous at Tulane. He's going to get Houston pointed in the right direction. Heck, he already is getting them in the right direction. And then they were very impressive against Colorado last week on Friday night, this Houston Cougars team. So losing that game is no shame if you're Rice. I think there's a winnable matchup. And like I said, the teams that Rice will beat, the teams that Rice will win and cover against, are going to be the teams that struggle to stop the run. And there's not really a lot that Charlotte's doing very well on defense right now, including that run defense, which, as I mentioned, they're giving up. They're 103rd in the country as far as rushing yards per game allowed so far.
Cool thing about Charlotte 49er games, though, is it's free food. It's part of the package, all you can
eat. Love it. I'd be a regular there, Gabe. I like that. I like their style. That's nice.
Yeah, you know what? It's like they put, like, you just walk up to the concessions and there's a bunch of, like, hot dogs there and stuff.
That's
you grab it yourself. They put up, like, the popcorn. It's just hot dogs, popcorn, and soda.
Still, it's free.
They're not making you pizzas. And yeah, 24 yeah. Chicken wings. And,
exactly. Can I have some quesadillas over here? Yeah, come on. Yeah, it's like, sure. You get hot dogs. Rice is one of the smartest school. Gabe, it's crazy. I was just like, I remember Rice was good as an institution, but God, these guys are fourth in mathematics, sixth in computer science. Like, Rice is a brainiac school for people that don't know. Like, there are a lot of smart kids go to that school.
Why do you think they suck?
Yes, exactly. They're worried about research, not pigskin. Good point.
Yeah, like, they can't, like, you've got to go to class at Rice. Like, you can't, it's not like a joke school. Like, it's a serious. You want to play around, you go down the street, you go to Houston.
Yeah, that's right, Jim Nance. Hello, friend.
I mean, even Houston's a good university, but I've been there. Like I said, guys, it's pretty cool. Like, Rice and Houston, they're literally, it's this, like, nice neighborhood of, like, bars and, you know, upscale restaurants and, like, rich-looking, you know, Texan girls, you know what I mean, with plastic surgery. Houston, after Beverly Hills, has the most plastic surgery in the world. Mm. So it's just a bunch of, like, plastic surgery girls walking their dogs and, like, It really is. You're like, oh my God, this is quite the block and a half here. Like, you look at it, and it's bigger than that. There's just like, I forget the neighborhood that it's called. Like I said, I did the show there, like for the week there, a couple of nights there when I was there. And it's pretty cool. Like, you're like, oh my God, there's Rice. There's the stadium and stuff. And boom. And you're like, oh my God, Houston's right there. Like, it's really, Baylor has a campus there. Baylor's in Waco, but there's all these, like, the university district. There's all the schools are there. But Houston and Rice actually are there. Like, they're stadiums, and they're there. And, yeah, like you said, Rice is a great institution, but that's why they're not great at sports. Let's just, you know, people wonder, why aren't Rice better at sports? We just said, because they got doctors and, like, scientists and stuff
exactly.
Like that.
They're, like, top 10 in everything.
They're not sports brains. Folks. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
You know what's a really good school that I wouldn't think would have been? But it really is. It's like, wow, I was honest. I was like, I didn't realize, like, how respected, like, really, like, smart, big time, like, space programs and all kinds of crazy stuff they got going on there is Texas A&M.
Oh, Texas A&M is a brilliant institution. With the A&M, they have, I think they have game agriculture stuff. They have everything. Like, they're one of the tops for, like, you know what I mean, for innovations, yeah, and stuff, hybrids.
What do you think agriculture is? Sort of, yes. Like, in the old days, people would laugh at it, right? Yeah. Sort of like Auburn. Oh, agriculture. You're a bunch of hicks. You're farmers, right? But, like, yeah, in the modern era, agriculture is, like, science and, like, modern hybrid foods and, like.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Just, yeah, like, Texas A&M. Because I look at them, I'm like, dude, they're a bunch of Army cadets and, like, rednecks. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was just being honest before. Then you see the university, it's like, no, actually, man, the university is, like, one of the most respected schools. All right. Tulsa and Oklahoma's Oklahoma State. You know, guys, a quick take on this. There's odds up for both football, I was going to say leagues, but college and NFL. Everybody thinks McDaniel's going to be the first coach to get fired right now in the NFL. It's plus 150 right now. So there's not a lot of value on it. There's college coaches to be fired. Excuse me. Billy Napier's plus 150. McDaniel's minus 500. So there's no value on McDonald. But for college football, the second choice is actually Gundy, the bad Owen Cam. I said, you know, the writing's on the wall. Gundy's got to go.
They'll let him play it out, though, Gabe. He's been there so long. At the end,
that's the thing, Cam. You're right. They're not going to fire him midseason here and embarrass him. They're going to tell him it's over.
Yeah.
But they're not going to pull the plug. But he's the second choice, actually, after Billy Napier. And, you know, the Thamel guy on ESPN, whatever, like, a lot of the college beat guys are saying that it could happen, actually. Like, that it's a sensitive subject, that they don't want to humiliate him, but they don't want to lose 60-3 every week this year. I think I'm with you, Cam. I think they're going to bite the bullet and just say, all right, this year's gone. It is what it is, but he's not coming back next year, which leads me to Billy Napier. If you look at Florida's schedule, guys, like, he really could get fired for real now. They didn't want to fire him. I know Brent Beard well. He speaks at the Gator Club, so I got, like, behind-the-scenes stuff there with, like, the boosters and the president, and they really did want this to work with Napier because it makes them look bad. They keep firing coaches. Right. So, like, they wanted this to work. They thought that it could turn the corner. Last week, 5 interceptions with Lagway. Now they get the Miami Hurricanes this week. They got Texas the following week. Dude, it doesn't get easier for them. Like, so he could get canned, but Oklahoma State, Babano, they kind of need a blowout win. You think they're going to murder Tulsa? You know, is Gundy going to have one last blowout win before conference play starts and he really gets lit up every week?
Well, that's the big question. Now, last year they did thump Tulsa 45-10. That was at Tulsa. That was with Alan Bowman, and he had 5 touchdowns in that game, and Tulsa struggled on offense, and it was, what, 431 to – actually, it was over 500 total yards for Oklahoma State and over 300 for Tulsa, but it was pretty much one-sided. I'm not so sure this is going to be the same, though. There's real issues with Oklahoma State. This is a horrific defense right now.
I don't know if they're good enough to win by double digits.
I don't
like Tulsa.
I'm not sure.
Spot, guys. It's Tulsa.
And Tulsa get fired up for this game, too, and
exactly.
They're going to know there's a weakened Oklahoma State.
Exactly. Oklahoma State's a weekend cowboy there at the Golden Hurricane. Like, if any time, guys, it's now. I would take the points of Tulsa.
They're not good anymore.
Oh, they're horrible.
They had a few years where they were good.
You're right. I'm not going to say Tulsa's a good program, but if you're going to get Oklahoma State, and ask them to lay to like 12 points. No thanks.
Tulsa's just getting crushed in his NIL stuff. And that before it was like everybody in the state of Oklahoma, if you were really good, you know, you played for the Sooners. You know what I mean? It was like, all right, maybe I'll play for the Cowboys, like Sooners, Cowboys. And then if you weren't good enough for the Sooners, the Cowboys, all right, I'll go to Tulsa. Now it's a free for all. I mean, hell, Oklahoma's not even getting the best kids from Oklahoma now, right? And so now you just get other teams coming in here, schools, and saying, don't go to Tulsa. You know, come play for us. We're better, right? Play for the Houston Cougars, right? Like, it's really tough, man, for some of these schools right now. The game of the night, guys, on Friday night. And I'm a Rutgers guy. Are you, baby? I bet on them 3 years in a row over 5.5 wins with Shiano. And so here we go again. Great start for them. The surprise with Rutgers is that their offense is good, right? But their defense isn't elite suddenly. It's like it's bizarro world. Like Rutgers normally, guys, have a good defense and their offense is terrible, right? But
and they're flying over the total, 3-0 to the over so far.
Yeah, on their own, Babano.
Yep.
Two of the three games, they have scored the total on their own. Bro, they keep putting 45s up on the board, and Rutgers keep scoring 45, right? So now, though, this is the test. You got Iowa. Iowa at Rutgers, guys, Friday night. It's the TV game, the Fox game, 8 o'clock Eastern time. Piscataway is going to be rocking. What's your pick, Babano? Do you think RU can knock Iowa off?
I like the value with Rutgers. I'm worried about their defense, though, Gabe. You mentioned it. It's not nearly as good, and Iowa's going to come after them with the ground game as they always do. They want to run the football, and I'm not liking that Rutgers is allowing 148 rushing yards per game, 5.6 yards per carry from a yards per rush standpoint.
MAC teams went up and down. Like exactly. MAC teams went up and down the field on them.
Exactly. That's 127 in the nation, Rutgers, as far as yards per carry allowed defensively. That's not what you want against Iowa. That's a big-time issue that I've got. You know, I like the idea of them as a home dog. Iowa, I don't trust necessarily as a road favorite. But you look at the issues with the run defense. You look at Iowa's one, you know, 2 years in a row facing this Rutgers team by decisive margins. And I do even with he hasn't played as well as I thought he would, but I still thought Mark Gronowski, the kid coming to Iowa from South Dakota State, would be an upgrade at quarterback. He's kind of struggled more than I thought, but I think he's starting to show signs of getting comfortable. And I actually think Iowa can win this football game. I just think their run defense of Rutgers and their defense overall is a bit of a concern. You know, I'm not running to bet the side, but I'm leaning Iowa to pull this one out. Maybe you can take a shot with the over as well. It's 45. You know, I think that Iowa's run game will work. That could open up play action for Gronowski. But you look at Rutgers on offense. Iowa's defense is really good, but their own run game's been solid. And Kaliak Manis has been better than I thought. Now, this is going to be a big step up for the Rutgers offense because Iowa's defense is better than anyone they faced. But 45 is pretty low, and clearly Rutgers' totals have been devalued this year.
They've played four times since Rutgers has moved to the Big Ten. And the last time they played, Iowa won 22-0.
Yeah.
That was in 2023. 2022 was 27-10. I don't like going back to these college scores too much, but these teams are kind of the same, to be honest. Like, Iowa are the most same team ever. Like, you know what I mean? Like Kirk Ferentz's been the same coach. Doesn't matter who the players are. They're the exact same program all the time. So there is, and Shiano is Shiano. So there's, you know, yeah, Rutgers' offense is better now, but Iowa have owned them. Kind of like what Babano said, like, Iowa and Rutgers are kind of similar, except Iowa are better at it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Historically, Rutgers want to play smash mouth defense, want to run the football, want to just, you know, grind out, hey, we'll win 14-13 if we can. Suddenly this year, they're scoring a bunch of points. You know, this is going to be a fun game, though.
It is.
I hate to say it because I am on – listen, I think Rutgers, I'll win my bet anyways. If they win this game and they get off to a 4-0 start, then it's, you know, it's going to happen for sure. But I'm leaning Iowa with you, Babano. There's levels to this stuff. And, yeah, it's in Piscataway. That won't mean much as this game starts to go on. And Iowa are, like, killing the clock and running the ball down their throat. But this is a new Rutgers program. It's a tough game, Cam. That's why the spread's 2.5. It's basically a pick 'em.
You guys are onto it. But the biggest point in this game is Iowa could do what they want, and they will beat them up in the trenches. That's the only issue I have with Rutgers, and great calls by you guys. They are trying to be the exact same thing, but they're just Iowa's meaner, and they're, you know what I mean? They can do it better, and they've been doing it for a long time. Ferentz will have a game plan. I know he's conservative, but I lean in this spot too. I prefer to take Rutgers because I like cheering for the school, but I think Iowa gets it done. I haven't pulled the trigger yet.
I think it's going to be a super close game. Like, I think I really do. I know it's a cliche to say that, and I hate college teasers, but I'm not opposed to getting Rutgers at +9.5. Iowa aren't going to blow them out. They're not designed to blow you out, right? Like, it's going to be one of those, you know, 27-24, right around the total, like 24-21 type of games, field goals and stuff. But interesting game. Like, man, now it sort of begins for real. We've got a bunch of big-time conference games this weekend. You know, Illinois and Indiana. You got not a conference game, but the Miami Hurricanes and the Florida Gators. Massive tilt. Napier and Miami are really building something special right now. That Indiana-Illinois game, very, very intriguing. And then you got some SEC games as well. We'll get to the CFL and quick NFL hit. Here, but Babano, is there a college game or two you want to hit before we move on?
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cashback and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cashback sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cashback. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
I would say bet this sooner rather than later because I think it's already moved a bit, but this off the grid, I think North Texas beats Army. They could have beat Army last year, probably should have beat Army last year when they had that great team with Bryson Daly and company. Army's just not quite the same, and the more I watch North Texas, the more I'm impressed. You know, Mesta Maker's a great quarter, and their defense has gotten so much better, you know, with the new defensive coordinator there that the Mean Green have. I think they beat Army, laying less than a field goal in that game. I like the over in SMU-TCU. I'll throw out Syracuse +17.5 against Clemson because I'm going to dare Clemson to win by margin. Well, and you know, with the current struggles they've had on both sides of the football, be careful, Ole Miss. We'll see if Austin Simmons is back. He didn't play against Arkansas due to injury, and the backup Trinidad Chambliss played outstanding against Arkansas. But their defense, Ole Miss, struggled in that game, and in comes Jake Retzlaff and a very confident Tulane offense coming into Oxford, and Ole Miss has a big SEC game coming up next week as well. So Tulane plus the points. I'm very intrigued by that.
You know what, guys? I got a problem with this week at football here, and I know due to conference realignment. When the hell are we having the Apple Cup, Washington State, and then the Civil War with the Beavers and Ducks now? It's always at the end
always
of the year.
Always used to be late November. I don't
so
get it.
Stupid. That's what conference realignment does. I look forward to these games. But anyway, Gabe, I have one dumpster pick for you or something like off the radar. I know Florida was horrible with Lagway. I think that's going to be my shocker this week. I'm taking the Gators +7.5.
Circle the wagons. Yep.
Bold.
See. Yep.
Bold. One thing with the Gators and Napier, it is true. Every time they're really, really, really on the ropes, that it's like, man, he's going to get fired. Like every time they surprise you, like, you know what I mean? Like last year they beat LSU and they went on a little run, but I personally don't see it. I think I was surprised that point spread wasn't higher, and Miami aren't playing around, guys. You can talk about Mario Cristobal all you want. It doesn't matter. Like when they're way better than the other team, Cristobal gets taken out of the equation. I'm going to worry about Mario Cristobal like in the playoffs, like when, you know, it'd be like, all right, listen, he's going up against, you know, this guy or that guy, and it's going to be a problem. And, you know, like Kirby Smart in a really close game type of deal. But Miami are so good, they're not going to be in that many close games, right? They dodged the bullet with Notre Dame. How many teams are really going to hang around with Miami? People thought, oh, South Florida last week. We
you can hate on Cristobal all you want, Gabe. They've looked as impressive as any team in the country so far, Miami. You can't deny that.
They could be, but some people think they're the best team in the country. Right? Like if you take the Cristobal out, because everyone, oh, Cristobal. Yeah, Cristobal is bad. I'm not going to dispute it. But Cristobal is bad when it's 30-30 against a good team with a minute left.
Yeah.
Right? Like if Cristobal just stays the F out of the way, they're going to win 55-12 every week.
Cristobal's problem, Gabe, is at end of games.
South Florida last
games.
Week in bad weather, and they didn't even really click, and they beat them 49-12. Like,
their defense is a lot better, and Carson Beck seems to fit this offense perfectly.
When has he failed, guys? End of games and tight games. When he needs something, like when things get nerve-wracking and nervous, that's when Cristobal starts to feel the sweat, right? And they haven't had to deal with that stuff yet.
Yeah, I think they're gonna light him up. I think I think Napier really is in a lot of trouble for real.
You know, I'll throw another element about this game at you, Gabe, as far as this game. You think back to last week with South Florida. What Miami played great, but why did South Florida struggle? Part of the reason they struggled. You played Boise first game, big game. You beat Florida, upset them, and you got to get yourself pumped up and ready. Third straight week against a really good team, and South Florida hit the wall. This is Florida, same thing. You know, you played LSU last week. You played South Florida the week before that. And now this is like your third straight big-time opponent here playing Miami, and you worry how much the Gators have left in the tank.
And it should be noted, Miami went into the swamp last year in Gainesville and beat them 41-17. Like, there's a big gap between these programs right now. Remember Cam Ward was the quarterback. I remember after Cam Ward said, he said all your SEC talk about being the best conference and being so loud. It was funny. He ripped Gainesville, if you remember. He said, oh, I was warned going into Gainesville about how loud and crazy it was going to be. He said, the craziest stadium I've ever been in is in Seattle with the Washington Huskies. And he goes, that was nothing close to what I dealt with in the Pac-12 in noise. So it was it's Tim Tebow ain't walking through the door, right? Aaron Hernandez isn't there to shoot someone right now. Like, you don't have Urban Meyer and 32 convicts. Like, this is not the same Gators team. Like,
yeah, you know Urban Meyer at the bar getting touchy.
Yeah, there used to be a bunch of gangster thugs, and they were scary, and they were really good. They're not now. Like, Napier,
we were there, Gabe. We were there with their fans, too. They're a bunch of – they're not that loud. They're just there. And they drink and just meh.
That's why I almost have a little smirk on my face, knowing that these Gator fans are going to get their ass handed to them by their
hurricane. I almost don't want to. After that night, I almost don't want to support this school. I just think they might cover.
All right. So NFL football. Speaking of Miami, Buffalo and the Miami Dolphins on Thursday night football. Babano, point spread's been bouncing around. It was 12.5, 11.5, 10.5, whatever. It really is kind of all over the place. Now I'm seeing a 12 right now. So that ballpark figure, McDaniel really could get fired as well. You know, this is a line in the sand game for the Miami Dolphins. Like, you know, the Bills could kind of name their score. What are you going to do with the Thursday nighter?
So the Bills were awful on defense against Baltimore and just an absolutely big-time bounce-back game last week against the Jets. The defense was much better. So I don't really want to guess what the Bills are going to do on defense. The one thing Miami can still do is Tua can throw it. They've got the weapons. What I'm going to focus on, guys, is just take that element out of it and focus on the Bills probably being able to score at will against the Dolphins defense, because Miami's defense has been brutal. Drake May went up and down the field last week for New England. Daniel Jones and the Colts shredded them start to finish in that first game. The Bills should get 31 plus. I'm targeting the team total, Buffalo over 30.5.
The Bills have owned the Miami Dolphins. It's been very one-sided. They've beaten them 6 straight times, 9 out of the last 10 times that they played, albeit there have been a couple of close games mixed in there along with a couple of blowouts. 30-27, 31-10, 21-14, 48-20, 34-31, 32-29. But generally, and also, guys, just a reminder, Tua always gets hurt against the Bills. Like, the Bills have been like the ones. Milano, I think, has injured him twice, to be honest. Like, and he's not trying to do it, but Tua does not have fun against the Buffalo Bills. Bad things always happen to him. He gets hurt. This thing's blowing up. on McDaniel? What's your pick, Kev, for the Bills and the Dolphins?
Spread's pretty big, Gabe, but I can't back up Miami in any type of form. Like, I just, this team to me, the body language, coach, everything, it's a disaster. As we talked about weeks and weeks ago, could blow it up. Just blow it up and start, because there's nothing worse than, like, this team is just middling. If the Bills come focused, if the Bills want to punch him in the face, old school, I think they can win this game by like 26 points, 20. Like, they might blow these guys out of the stadium, and then McDaniel's done. I'll take the Bills to cover, but it's a huge number. But Bano's on to something too. Bills team total over.
I think that's the best route, Cam, just because what if it's 31-13, you know, 2 minutes left, and here's Miami backdoor 31-20. I'd just rather bank on Buffalo's offense making chop liver out of Miami's defense, because if they're locked in on offense, Buffalo, they're capable of doing that. This is a bottom tier Dolphins defense from everything I've seen in the first two games.
I said McDaniel minus 500 to be the first NFL coach fired. All right, CFL, we'll wrap it up. CFL football. So Daigie is in for the Toronto Argonauts. Arbuckle is out. Now they're saying, oh, Chad Kelly might not play this year. I don't even know what you guys pay this guy for.
Exactly. Like,
you pay him to sexually harass people, and he doesn't play. He's always hurt, and he's always in trouble. So, like, you're defending him all the time and paying him all the time, and the guy doesn't play. And the thing is, he's not even better than what you got. Like, Arbuckle just throw for 400 yards a game. Like, you know, the Argonauts are a weird organization, like, to how they operate things, but whatever. But Bethel Thompson's in from Montreal. Big point spread, though, Babano. 6.5 right now. 6.5 Friday Night Football. BC Lions are getting 5.5 against the Stampeders. Bombers and Red Blacks. The Red Black season is all but officially done. Like, they're going to have to run the table. They're 2.5 home point favorites. And your Hamilton Tiger Cats, you'll be at the game Saturday night. They're laying 6 to Edmonton. What do you think about the CFL this week?
Okay, first game, I like Montreal double result. And what this is a Bet365's got this lead at halftime, win the game. It's actually the same bet I had with Hamilton last week against Winnipeg. I think that's the best way to go. I don't know about laying 6.5, but I don't think Daigie's going to have a great game. I think Montreal's defense getting healthier. They played great against Saskatchewan. They snapped that losing streak with that big win against the Riders. Bethel Thompson played great. Maybe the best game I've seen him play in years. Last week, and I think it could be a struggle for Daigie. So I like Montreal double result. BC Calgary's a great game. It's not going to be easy, Gabe, against Calgary off a bye, and Calgary lost to Edmonton before the bye week. But this BC team total over, guys, is 8-0 in BC's last 8 games. They've gone over their team total in 8 straight games, and the team total is only 23.5 here. So I'm going to take a shot that Nathan Rourke, even on the road against a good Calgary team, can lead his team to 24 or more points. I think the full game over is a great bet.
Dude, Rourke versus Adams is going to be a track meet, man.
Yes.
They're going to go
off.
Vernon
Adams will not let up in this game. If he can score 30 against BC, he'll look for 35. If he gets to 35, he'll look for 40. He's going to want to prove a point here against this BC Lions team, his former team. So I agree with you, Gabe. I think it's a high-scoring affair.
Updated numbers. Right now for the CFL. Rough Riders, plus 230. Stampeders, plus 270. And if you guys recall, in the offseason, McInnes came on, and he said, hey, guys, I'm looking at the CFL odds, and I don't understand how Calgary are 30-1. And I told him I saw the same thing. I said, it's a 9-team league. And I'm a big Vernon Adams guy, so I was like, So Calgary were 30-1 in a 9-team league. Now they're plus 270 to win. I'm not really sure they're going to win the Grey Cup, but nevertheless, it was quite a good bet. Babano's Ticats are plus 300 right now.
Yep.
The Alouettes are plus 500. Argonauts are plus 750. BC Lions 14-1. Bombers 22. Edmonton 45. Ottawa 50.
Oh, yeah, about the Saturday games. I didn't mention my I like Ottawa. I'm going against the grain here. I can't take Winnipeg with Strevler. I was there. The accuracy was terrible. The decision-making was bad. Mike O'Shea's being, hounded by the media is why you keep going to him. I'll tell you why you keep going to him, because Terry Wilson, the backup, I watched that kid play at Kentucky. He's got the same issue Strevler has. Not very accurate throwing the football. So I think at this point, if you're Mike O'Shea, all you can do is stick with Strevler and hope things get better. Drew Brown looks like he's going to come back for Ottawa. You know, Ottawa's favored, I think, for a reason. I think that's a winnable game for the Red Blacks there. And, you know, I'm a Ticat fan, guys, but I like Edmonton. Plus six. They're 7-1 against the spread with Cody Fajardo at quarterback. They lost a heartbreaker to Toronto last week. They've been covering the number, though. They've been in every game except for Labor Day since Cody's taken over at quarterback. Not to mention, they've gone into Hamilton and won three straight times in Hamilton, 3-0 against the spread here in Hamilton against the Ticats. So I think that's a close game, Edmonton plus the points for me.
What's your Grey Cup prediction, Cam, if you had to say right now, who's going to be playing in the Grey Cup against each other?
Great question. I'm going to say Calgary Stampeders and Babano's Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Wow. I'm going to stick with the same CFL Grey Cup prediction I started the season with, Saskatchewan and Montreal. I still think Montreal, assuming they're getting everybody healthy, and if Davis Alexander eventually gets back there, which I think he will in the next week or two, that's a dangerous team come November in the playoffs.
Who do you got, Gabe?
Babano got half of it right. I'm with you. Dude, the Alouettes, we saw earlier in the year, guys, when they're healthy, they're the best team in the league. Mm-hmm. Right, or right there. You know what I mean? Like, they were, their defense is good. Their offense is good. I think McLeod Bethel-Thompson, I think he might, something might have clicked now with him being there around the team. You know, getting inside stuff from them was that he was kind of standoffish and, you know, he wasn't, you know, and he wasn't playing well. He wasn't very popular in the room type of deal. He's kind of a, I don't know him personally, so I don't want to like say he's an a-hole, but if you'll notice, like, you know, he wasn't the coolest guy with Ford on the way out. Oh, I'm better than Ford. Like, he's not like buddy-buddy with like the other QBs on the team and stuff, Cam. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's very, you know, he thinks he's great and he should be in the NFL and he's got like, he kind of got attitude and stuff, but he got hurt. He didn't play well. And another thing is, to be fair, he had to learn the offense and stuff, right? Like, and he had to, you know, be, you know, learn the city and Montreal, like, and everything. Sometimes it takes time. And you guys know, man, we all know in the CFL, what happened in the summer means jack in November, like, right? So I'm with you, Babano. And it takes a lot for Babano. Babano's a Ticat fan. If Montreal are healthy, I think Montreal are going to get to the Grey Cup. So just for the record, they're plus 240 to get to the Grey Cup. But I'm going to, you know, I just sort of grin when you said, Babano, you're going to stand your ground with the same pick. I'm going to stand my ground with the same pick. BC versus Montreal. Same thing. Yep. If BC gets in, they're effing dangerous, man.
Hell, like, if any of these teams just get in, anybody can play their best.
Dude, Nate can beat anybody in two games. You know what I mean? For like, sure. You give them two games, and BC have shown they're a good road team. They can go on the East Coast and win. Yep. Right. So my whole deal is I hope they don't have to play Montreal in the crossover deal because it would eliminate one of them. But guys, BC are 14-1 right now. You're getting 14-1 with a team that scores 40 points a week against anybody.
Their defense is terrible, but their quarterback
brutal.
Is special.
I'm not that number bad. Like, is ridiculous. BC should be 8, not 14-1.
Come on. And they're probably going to make the playoffs, so I'm going to get in. I'm going to have a shot here, you know?
It's a great number in a small way. The league's so small. And to Babano and Gabe's point, everybody, anything crazy, crazy stuff happens in the Canadian Football League, right?
And the Rough Riders are supposedly the best, but they could choke. Yeah. They choke off.
Oh, big time.
Calgary are good, but let's see them win in the playoffs.
But it is though, Gabe. Calgary owns Saskatchewan so far this year. That's the one thing. They match up well against them. That's why I think the Stamps can do it. Like, I believe in this team.
Yeah, CFL is, guys, you know, throw out the standings, guys, when you look at, like, when you're looking at a handicap of the future. All right, we'll get out of here. Final pick. Cam, the Open de France. I don't know why it's like the – yeah, I guess that's what you call it. I was going to say the Tour de France, but that's what the tournament's called, Open de France. I was going to say, how come it's not the Francais Open, but no, French is backwards. So it is the French Open, so to speak. And we saw Rory won the Irish Open. Corey Connors, the Canadian, is actually favored to win the French Open. Harry Hall is 11-1. Jordan Smith is 20-1.
I got a guy.
Satir's 22-1. Minwoo Lee, 22-1. So you pretty much got a mix here of like DP guys and a couple of PGA guys, but it's not the deepest field, Cam. Who do you got?
I'm going to tell you guys a story with results, and it is unbelievable. Adrien Satir is also from France. He lost in a playoff last week to Alex Noren, who I actually had in that game. Hatton was there too. So golf went really well last week. This guy has been top three the last few weeks. French tournament in France. Everything's lining up. Give me Adrien Sadier, the Frenchman, 25-1, please.
Sadier's 22-1. Yeah, it'd be pretty. It's almost like, you know, like when I said, "Ah, oh, Rory's Ireland." I'm gonna go and take to Rory, but I thought the same thing. I was like, "Where's that Pavon guy?"
Look at this guy, Gabe.
Pavon second, but yeah, Sadier second, is the best French player right now. Yeah.
Like he's right there. Like he won the Italian Open. Like this guy, other than he played one crap tournament and he wasn't used to playing in Scotland.
Pressure to win your home thing. Yeah. You see with a Canadian Open all the time, right? It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it is pressure. But sometimes, you know, a lot of guys win their national championship, right? Like that's the whole thing. Robert McIntyre won the Scottish. Rory won the Irish. These guys get fired up for it. I just think Sadier is in good form, good price.
You know what? I don't know why Corey Connors is favorite, but since he is, I'm going to take him. Just because if he wins, it's going to bother me.
Yes.
But I'll take Corey Connors 11-1, and I'll ride Cam's Sadier pick here 22-1. Babano, the ice guy's rapidly approaching soon. Hockey is around the corner. You can find Babano at Babano Bets on X. Catch Cam on the grid. I'll see you on the Sports Grid Radio and Television Network. Subscribe to the podcast so you get alerted when it gets dropped on a daily basis, weekends. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.